Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good. Glad to hear you doing well, being here this morning, able to join with us and worship our great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Just want to share a couple of announcements as we begin this morning. It's our privilege to welcome you and each other, and also the Flink family. David and two of his sons are here this morning. Unfortunately, Christy and two of the others are at home. Resting, not feeling 100% this morning, so we want to just remember them as well. I mentioned at Sunday school that Mr. Laurie, who has been coming with us fairly recently, remember he was a contact from our Easter mailing last year. He has been hospitalized this morning, just this morning, in fact, after we arrived there to pick him up, so we want to keep him in our prayers as well. But we welcome you all this morning, this afternoon. Right after this service, we have a potluck lunch. And so I guess I don't need to say that because you can smell that. It's going to be tough if you didn't have your breakfast this morning to pay attention to the message. But we trust that you will as the smells waft in here and beckon us to lunch. So if you come and haven't brought any food, doesn't matter. Come anyway to the lunch. We want you to be there, and don't feel like you have to hold back if you were not able to participate or didn't know about it today. That's totally fine. We find the fellowship is far more important than the food or the amount of inevitable leftovers that there are. If we could wipe out every little thing and not have any leftovers, wouldn't that be amazing? Let's try it today. Especially the dessert table. All right. The ladies are practicing this afternoon at 5 o'clock in their ensemble. So if you're involved in that, take note. They're at 5 o'clock. They'll be upstairs as it normally has been. And then at 6 o'clock tonight, our brother Flink is going to present more about their ministry in Chile. And we look forward to seeing some pictures and testimony about that as well. This Wednesday, we do plan to have a dinner at the church. So back to that again. If you were here last week, you noticed that we weren't here for dinner. So we will be doing that this coming Wednesday. Campers, need to get you onto the scholarship program here, signed up and signing in each week for attendance and doing your memory work and stuff. We'll be getting that out here soon. So want to make sure that you are aware of that. Vacation Bible School, you see in the summer, July 8th through 12th. We've had a great ministry, just got better and better every year. I think we had about 50 children last year. We're looking to have many more this year as well. So see Ben Carnes this morning. He has your memory booklets for Scripture Memory Fellowship if you don't have those already. We have ours sitting on the kitchen table, and I quizzed my wife on her first assignment, and she did pretty well. A couple words, you know, here and there. I haven't even gotten mine to mine yet, so I'm going to be working on that as well this week. So we look forward to that. Let's open our service with a prayer, and then I'm going to invite Dr. Yanga to come and lead us in the singing of our first two hymns this morning. Dear Lord, thank you for the privilege to come together this morning. We thank you for each one who's able to be here today. We pray for those that are not well and unable to come, for a portion of the Flink family this morning, and also for our friend Mr. Laurie, who has been coming of late to the church. We are thankful for him and the ministry we've been able to have for him and he to us. Help us as we go through today to remember him in prayer and to uplift him before you. We commit him to you and ask for your loving care and help, whatever his medical concerns are, that they would be able to be resolved successfully and soon. Give him some relief from suffering. But through it all, we ask that you will strengthen both his and our faith in our Savior. We have a great privilege to come this morning. We thank you for it in the name of our Savior, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, that name at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To him and through him and for him we pray this morning. Amen. Amen. We'll open with hymn number 818, which will pick up a little theme from our message last week about the faithfulness of God. 818.
Let's stand as we sing together. 818, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Together, 624, hymn number 624, Count Your Blessings.
Blessings, name them one by one.
may be seated.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in Isaiah 40. Turn back there to Isaiah chapter 40 in your Old Testament. The prophet wrote these words at the direction of our God. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured the heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure? Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when he will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Let us look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, You know that we call this our pastoral prayer, but really this is just me leading by words, our whole congregation coming before You in a time of prayer for praise and worship, for intercession, for supplication, and for confession. Father, corporately and individually, You know far too well all of us and the way we have fallen short of Your glory in these past days since we last met. Father, I thank You for the blood of Christ, Your Son, that cleanses us from all sin. And pray that as a body of believers and as individual believers, we will be persistent in the matter of repentance and confession with those individual sins that we have committed. And Lord, we thank You for the provision that You have made once for all in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You that we, while we can learn much from the sacrificial system in the Old Testament, as we did yesterday with the men, that we are not obligated to carry out those specific sacrifices because they have been done away in Christ. Father, I want to pray again for those who cannot be here today and ask Your special grace and blessing to them. I also want to ask, intercede for the little ones that are growing in a couple of our ladies' wombs. We pray, dear God, that You will bring these ones to full term with healthy minds and bodies and safe deliveries. Dear Lord, this is not something that we haughtily count as automatic or rest our faith in the medical community, but Lord, in You, because Lord, You are the giver, the taker of life. Our times are in Your hands. And Lord, You sovereignly bestow upon each life and then take it away when the time has run its course. So we commit that request and desire to You this morning. We also want to pray, Lord, that You will help our families. Some of us already have children in our homes. Some hope to have children. Some have grown children. Some have grandchildren. But Lord, in each case, wherever we are in life, in our home and in our spiritual walk with You, in our workplaces and extended families, we need Your help to walk uprightly, to be sanctified, and to continue in that path that You've laid out for us. And so we appeal to You for help, knowing that we can do nothing apart from the life-giving vine, our Savior. Lord, I want to pray that as we reflected on a few weeks ago, that You will help us to be people who are busy about overcoming sin in our lives. We'll use the means that You have given to us through faith and by the power of the Spirit of God to walk uprightly, to eschew temptation and to just be disgusted at sin. Lord, we turn our thoughts also this morning to pray for those that we affiliated with in the matter of global missions. We thank You that today we can have some emphasis on that very subject. But also we want to pray for our co-workers in the gospel in South America, in New Zealand, in South Africa, in France, and in these United States. We pray also for our outreach to the community of Howell. In that same regard, all of these works going on. And while we pray, we ask that You will also give us progress, that the gospel will run will be unhindered in its progress in Ann Arbor, despite the fact that many opponents dislike or hate the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read recently, Lord, in our Bible reading program that we who are Christ's in a spiritual sense have an aroma. That same smell of Christ that is in us reeks of death to the unbeliever, but is the aroma of life to those that are being saved. And so I pray that whoever the people are we encounter, that they would see a clear testimony of that one who lives within us. Give us a unique ability this morning to put aside all the distractions, frustrations, difficulties in our lives and focus our attention fully on the ministry of the songs that we sing and the giving, the music, and especially the preaching of your word, that we would learn and grow. In Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask the gentlemen if they'll come forward now and take up your offering for the Lord's work. Thank you, Christine, for sharing with us in your gift in music as well. Thank you very much for that ministry of music, and thank you all for your offering to support the work here. I'm going to ask Brother Duane if he'll lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just call to give thanks. the opportunity that we have to give back to the work, Lord, for the missionaries that we support, Lord, and the local work that's done here. We just ask that we will continue to be cheerful givers to your work, that we'll not be thwarted in this world. We shall give all the glory to thee. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, for thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Duane. We have the privilege to have Anna Widgen back with us and her mom to sing this morning. So, ladies, would you come and minister to us? Oh, and Steve again. He always, well, not always, but starting to sneak in there too.
Know that it is finished.
Turn to our next hymn, 407, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. I do appreciate those lyrics, and if you hear those and feel nothing, I think there is there's a problem. So thank you for that special music. Let's stand as we sing. The children can be dismissed this time. 407, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
This morning to be able to welcome David Flink and his wife. As I mentioned earlier, she's not able to be here with us. She's at the house resting with their two youngest, but Ben and Jordan are here. You want to make sure to get to meet them at lunch if you at all have the opportunity, and you will. So, you know, sometimes introductions like this, it's been joked before that somebody gets up and makes a big flowery introduction, and the speaker gets up and he says, well, I've lost all my heavenly reward now. We'll start from scratch. I'll try not to do that this morning for our brother. But I would say this, that whether he knows it or not, he said this morning that the Chileans are watching their lives as they minister there in Chile. And through a blog and Facebook and emails and personal contact with them, I have been watching. I know some of you have as well. And their ministry, it's 2 years ago in May, was it May, that you moved into Antofagasta? And it's not an easy way to get there. You have to drive, if you're bringing a lot of stuff, a long distance. And so that day that they were driving up there, I remember distinctly praying for them that they would survive that long drive. Hours and hours, and like 20 hours or something like that, north of Santiago. And they did, and they're here now. But anyway, it's just a great blessing to see how God is working in that city of hundreds of thousands of people. And with David and his wife, and just carving out a little community of believers. And we've seen pictures of the first baptisms there, one just recently before they left to come and visit with their churches in the States. And it's just been a great joy and a blessing, inspiration for us as well. So, brother, come and give us the word this morning. Everyone here is waiting to hear what God has to say through you. And we're all on your team, so this is friendly territory.
Good morning. There's a lot of emotion going through myself right now. One of them is nervousness, but I always get a little nervous. But imagine yourself being in another language for 4 years and then coming back to speak in English. And so please have patience with me. The other emotion that I have is gratitude. And I'm not ashamed to say that. It's been a blessing to be here so far these few days. The hospitality of your pastor. I was able to attend the men's meeting on Saturday morning. That was a joy. We do it once a month, and you guys do it once a week, and I'm jealous. It was a blessing to see how God is working here. We love your pastor. And what he said before I got here, he shouldn't have said, because I'm a mess now, but... That's right. He's been a blessing to us. Occasionally, I get online and listen to him. I know that he's been teaching through 1 Timothy. Probably completed it by now. His visit to Chile was our first opportunity to meet him. And this weekend is our first opportunity to meet his family. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I'll start in Psalm 77, but we will also be in Psalm 78. And as our noses are smelling what's coming at lunch, I have a nose as well. And with the eye on the clock, let us try to suspend our desire for eating and focus on the Word of God here for the next few moments. Let me start off with reading verses 11, 12, and 13 of Psalm 77. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? The question, or the title of the message, is, how great is your God? My simple preposition is this: your estimation of who God is. Will be demonstrated by how you are willing to obey Him. I encourage you to come back tonight because I'm going to try to tell you what God's doing in our neck of the woods. Better said, neck of the desert. We don't have woods. It's been a joy to, although spring is a little late and it's a little chilly for us and you, I'm sure, it's been a joy to see trees and grass and shrubs and flowers. Don't take them for granted. It's been 2 years since we've been able to consistently enjoy that side of God's creation. That being said, the desert is beautiful. It grows on you. Come back and you'll see more pictures of that tonight. Who is so great a God as our God? As believers, we need to cultivate through Scripture, through the Holy Spirit, a growing sense of who our God is and how great He is. Because as we are growing in knowledge of His attributes and works, our lives should change. Isn't that right? One could say Antofagasta is a hard city. It's going to take a long time to plant a church. But another one can say, my God is big. What goes with having a big God is really how small we are. I'm a blubbering fool today, I'm sorry. Last week, we were able to go to the Creation Museum. Took a couple of days off. And that was cool. We went into the planetarium where you laid on your backs and saw this short movie about how big our Earth is. And then all of a sudden, it just went away to a little speck. And here's our galaxy, the Milky Way, and all of the stars. And then that went to a speck, and then there's other galaxies. It was amazing. Our family, especially our kids, were blown away. Of course, we have heard of these things. We know God made these things, but to visually see that made us feel like an ant's toenail. Then on the way out, our second child said, that's about the coolest thing I've ever seen. And it was a great Deuteronomy 6 opportunity. So we really enjoyed our time there. If you haven't been there, I encourage you to take the drive to Northern Kentucky to see that. In Psalm 78 is by far one of my favorite psalms, and I don't have the time today to cover it all, but under the topic of how big is our God, we are confronted in this chapter, in this psalm, about the importance of speaking about our God and His works to our family. Allow me to read probably the first 11 verses and then make a few comments about it. Give, O ear, O my people, to thy law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come what? The praises of the Lord and of His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. It doesn't stop there. Who should arise and declare them to what? To their children. I'm talking about several generations here. Verse 7 is our family's verse. That they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, what did they do? They were armed. They were carrying bows. They turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. The importance in our families, whether if you have children or not, you have some connection in your families, with your grandchildren, with your nieces or your nephews, even in the context of this local church. We should be believers that love to talk about what God has done. We should not, as men, be ashamed about sharing those things. We have 5 men in our church plant, and we meet once a month, and we're reading through Proverbs, and it's a joy. Really, if you turn anywhere in Scripture, it's a new thing to them, and that is so much fun. Big responsibility. Got to put that in. Scared to death about teaching them wrong things. So that's helping me. But it's amazing, simply reading Scripture, talking about it and how it should apply to our lives, helping each other to keep each other accountable and praying about it. That is a cool ministry. That's what we all should be doing in our local churches. So it's a joy to be able to invest in these men. Tonight you'll be able to meet a few of them. And there is joy in serving Jesus. And so Saturday when I showed up and with Pastor, and I think 9 of us were there. Great breakfast, by the way. I don't get to eat breakfast sausage and chili. They don't have it, so it was awesome. And we were confronted again to consider a book that we often don't stumble upon, Leviticus chapter 1, about the importance of sacrifices to the Israelites. More importantly to us as believers this day and age, we should be very thankful for the finished sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Let me go back to verse 6 here. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. And as Israelites, the Jews were commanded in Deuteronomy 6, specifically the men, to teach their children about Jehovah. And when we read Deuteronomy 6, we come away from it not understanding that we should do it only at family devotions, which is important as well, but in every aspect of life, when there's an opportunity to use something in the world, in creation, on the news, at the supermarket, at school, to talk about our God. And that's very important. And I think, as you well know, in our culture in the United States, as well as the culture in Chile, many, many fathers are disconnected from their families. Even believers at times are very disconnected in their role and responsibility and privilege in shepherding their wife and their children. Specifically in Chile, the big hurdle is because they're macho. They don't show emotion. They feel like they work, mom cooks, and so it's a huge struggle culturally that we have to confront in every conversation. And going back to this morning's Sunday school lesson, having people over gives us the opportunity for them to see, Lord willing, because we are struggling with this and fighting with this every day in our marriage, in our family. They have an opportunity to see a family that desires to follow the Lord. And Lord willing, a husband that is treating his wife correctly and occasionally washing the dishes and occasionally sweeping the floor and changing a diaper. That just shatters the mold in Chile. Maybe it does here too, but I've been away for a while. But coupled with hospitality, and our desire should be to show not only to our family but to the world that our lives are different. Our lives have radically been changed by the gospel. This whole psalm here is a history of what God has done. Like I said, I don't have the time to read it today. I encourage you to read it this week, Psalm 78. After the challenge here in verse 6 and 7 to share with the generation to come, their generation and the generation to come, and to set your hope in God so we not forget the works of God and keep His commandments, the psalmist goes on to retell the story of what God has done. How He brought the Israelites out of Egypt. I've underlined several verbs in this chapter about what God had done. Verse 15, He clave the rocks unto the wilderness. 16, He brought streams also out of the rock. 26, He caused an east wind to blow into the heaven. 45, He sent all different kinds of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. Verse 46, He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail. God did this. Remember? That's what the psalmist is saying. Remember all of this? Let's retell this whole story. He gave up their cattle also to the hail. 54, He brought them to the border of His sanctuary. 70, He chose David also, His servant. It's a wonderful story that in this psalmist is saying we need to retell to our families what God has done. while going to Bible college in the boondocks of northern Wisconsin, where you go to nowhere and turn left, and that's where it is. Our college professor, a president, encouraged us to keep a journal called the Works of God Journal. If God does anything in your life, write it down. Because when trials and tough times come, and they will, you can go back to this book and remind yourself, this is who my God is. This is what He's done. And He can do it again. I would like to communicate a very big thank you, if I can, of your church's participation in sacrificially giving towards buying the mission home. We're on the field walking the streets for 9 months trying to find a home. At least I was walking the streets. Christy's looking on the internet and calling people. The prices are just so expensive because of our city is a boom town of copper and lithium and nitrate. Copper capital of the world. Because of that, our city cannot keep up with growth. They just cannot keep up. And so the housing market is cutthroat. If you don't have the money and your paperwork, you lose. And us as a mission, a faith mission, we have a limited supply within the mission to purchase a house. And the Lord gave us an opportunity to see this house in 10 seconds into seeing the house. This is the house. It's clean. It's in a good location. After experiencing and looking through many, many, many disasters of homes, when we were going in seriously thinking, folks, we just destroy this house. We're buying it because of the land, honestly. That's kind of, that got discouraging. This is a good price. Go and see it, disaster. Another good price, wrong location. It was a roller coaster. It was definitely the roller coaster that we needed to ride in our sanctification process because it pushed us to trust in the Lord. And remembering what God has done in the past, we had to recalibrate, that's a key word, recalibrate ourselves to think, it's going to be exciting what God's going to do. Because I had no idea how I was going to do it, humanly speaking. Our mission was short $20,000. The man who owned the home had a mortgage on it. He was bleeding money. He needed to sell it. Our mission was going to pay in cash. That's a great formula there. A guy who needs cash. We have it, but we're $20,000 short. The guy brought it down a little bit more. Within 4 hours, the Lord provided that money. Unbelievable. Or is it? I mean, God is... That's what's going on in our minds. This is unbelievable, but this is who our God is. He is always supplied in His timing through His people. Always. another thing that was drilled into our heads at college is our college president always says, we believe in Jehovah Jireh, not Jehovah Visa. Jehovah Jireh, He will provide. Our God provides. And I can tell you that that is true. And it is exciting. It was exciting to move into that home. And we are here to say thank you. And we ask you to continue to participate in prayer for what God is doing in a hard city. Our city is a modern Corinth. You remember what Corinth was like in the New Testament? What were some of the characteristics of Corinth? Talk to me here. What?
Lawsuits.
Where was it geographically? Do you remember? It was a port city. And what typically comes with ports? Sailors. And sailors bring sin. We live in a modern Corinth. We live in a boom town where people are moving to this city at a fast rate. Specifically, young men leaving their family, not leaving, but going to live in this city for a time, 2 to 3 years, to work in the mines, which are paying the highest salaries in Chile, who give the highest Christmas bonuses in Chile. $40,000 Christmas bonus. Because the mines are making millions of dollars every day. Where we live on the train line. And 15 trains go by our house every day, loaded with laminate copper. Bundles of laminate copper. Each bundle $15,000. Each car has at least 20 bundles. On each train, there's about 15 cars. That's a great math question. How much money is going by our car, our house, each day? That's just from one mine. The biggest mine, Escondida. There are other mines that are mining lithium. What is lithium used for? Cell phone batteries, laptop batteries. Are cell phones and laptops going out of style anytime soon? No. We live in a boom town. Many, many young men are coming to our city with what is the equivalent of the American dream. Going to strike it rich. And I'll be set for life. But meanwhile, they are losing their families. They work in the mine for 21 days at a time, have 7 days off. 21 in the mine, 7 days off. That doesn't, even if they have their family in Antofagasta, that's not going to cultivate a healthy marriage. Our city is number one in Chile for infidelity. Not just with the men, mind you, but with the women. Our city has tons and tons of children and teenagers that are growing up without their dad as a physical presence in their lives. Oh yeah, he's home once in a while. But what you have to understand is when you come down from the mines, you come back down to sea level, and many times they're physically sick for the first couple days. I mean, the altitude difference is, you need to adjust to that. So yes, he's home for 2 days, but the first 2 days he doesn't want to do stuff with his family. He's in bed. He's sick. And when he's off work, coming with a lot of money, you know, drinking it away, living it up, it's a disaster. But our God is bigger than that. The gospel and the power of the gospel is able to penetrate the sinful hearts. And God has been doing that. And it's exciting being present when God's doing that, to watch these things. Tonight I'm going to try to share a vignette, a story of three people from three different continents and how we're ministering to them now in Antofagasta. It's amazing. These are just the details I know of. The providence of God is amazing, how He's weaving His tapestry behind the scenes. Who is so great a God as our God? There's no one greater than our God. In our city, the people are serving many gods, and they're not wood and metal on the shelf, on the mantle, but they're the God of money and power and possessions and things. That happens here too. That can happen in our lives. It happens in my life. I have idols occasionally that are bigger than God. I have placed them above God at times. I need to recalibrate. Lord, forgive me, that's wrong. In my time, in my affections. Your family could be an idol. Oh, but families are a good thing. They are a good thing, but they can be an idol if you put them above the Lord. So we are ministering in a tough place, but we love it. Not to say it doesn't come with frustrations. We've had to adjust to cultural differences. Here, you enjoy the concept of being innocent until what? Proven guilty. To us, it's the opposite in Chile. You're guilty until you prove that you're innocent. In the sense, if I need to get some paperwork done downtown, it's very difficult. It's a lot of red tape. Because the mindset is, everyone's a bad guy. You need to prove that you're doing what you're supposed to. Because the government is trying to eliminate the opportunity for bad guys to do things quickly. Fraud. So, in the meanwhile, everyone suffers. That's something we've had to get used to. It's our new normal. The other day I was in Walmart here. Amazing. Walmart. Don't take for granted Walmart, Target. Just, everyone's so nice. Everyone treats you well. It seems to us. We don't have customer service where we live. Honestly. We go to McDonald's. We have a McDonald's. And there's 15, seems like, teenagers working. They're on their cell phones and drinking soda. And we come to the counter and it comes across to us like we're bothering them. It's not, welcome to McDonald's, how can I help you? You know why that is in our town? Because our town is so full of jobs that is affecting the work ethic. So what are you going to do? Fire me? I'll just get another job. That's the default reactions in people. People are living their lives with blinders on. They don't care about others. They care about themselves. But in this, God is saving people. God is growing them in their sanctification. And it is amazing to be a part of that. A small, very small part of that. And tonight, we would like to share more details about that. In closing, this afternoon, this evening, this week, please consider who your God is. Maybe in your mind, God is not that big. We need to recalibrate and be confronted in the mirror that is the Holy Scriptures about who God is and who we are. And when we have a correct view of God and a correct view of man, we will understand the Christian life in a better way. A professor of mine once said, every sin has been caused by one of two things, a wrong view of man and a wrong view of God. Basically, when I sin, when we sin, folks, here's what we're saying. God, I don't believe what you said will come to pass. My way is better. That we're living our life, we come to a decision. God's way, my way. I think my way is better. Does that happen in your life? I think sometimes we don't like to admit this. But how often it is when we are practically demonstrating that we don't believe God. When's the last time you've heard of someone, a pastor, someone in the pew, a deacon, an elder, a missionary say, I struggle with unbelief. I'm here to tell you right now, I struggle with unbelief at times. God, I don't believe what you've said. I'm going to hijack this and go my way. Sin. Wrong response. I challenge you to recalibrate that this week. Who is so great a God as our God? Nobody. Our God is sovereign. He is in control of everything. So if we have a trial in our life, instead of praying to the Lord, Lord, take this away. Don't we often say that? Take this away. Our response should be, you're in control. What do you want me to learn? If He is in control, why do we worry? Why do we worry? He will provide. He will clothe you. He will meet your needs, not your wants. He's promised it. Do we believe it? I struggle with that. But the recalibration of the Lord, of the Word of God in my life has caused me to confront that in my own life. And I can tell you that God is big. And we serve a big God in Chile. And you do as well. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Lord, forgive us when we fail you. We are so often unfaithful. Help us to accept the grace that you will freely give, and help us to walk towards the way of escape that you always give. And help us to continually walk in a general direction of obedience, Lord. Help us to fight this battle and war of sanctification. We need your help. We know from Scripture that sanctification is of you in our lives. At the same time, we have responsibility to fight, to cultivate spiritual disciplines in our own life. Lord, help us to do both. Rely on You to work in us through the Word of the Lord, through the Holy Spirit that You've given us, and help us to discipline ourselves to be better soldiers for You. Thank You for this opportunity to share, and we look forward to what You will teach us tonight as we attempt to magnify You. In Jesus' name, amen.